This is The Topic is Trek, episode 47 for Friday, July 12th, 2019. Please stop sharing your pain. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already!
Ba-ba-bum!
That was me. I was just doing all that theme song by myself. It's amazing. I can recreate an entire org, but that's a story for another day. Well, hello, everyone. Yes. I'm Clinton Allward, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts, and beaming in to join me, as always, are Mr. Craig Stepp.
Clinton!
I'm sorry, and Con. Never mind.
Yeah, whichever. We'll start with the same kind of sound, so that's good enough. And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
I'm Cosmo D from outer space. I came to rock the human race. I do it right because you can't do it wrong. That's why the whole world is singing this song.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, everybody.
We love you, Cleveland.
Bet you never thought we'd weave jam on it into this podcast.
Now I'm going to have that running through my head all night.
Thanks. Please do.
If you're looking for rock bottom... Oddly enough, we haven't hit it yet. So we may later on in this episode, because I think you can tell by the title of this episode what we'll be talking about in our main mission.
That's rock bottom.
Yes.
And then come to Dragon Con and we'll do karaoke.
And that will be even rockier bottom. That will be going straight to where it gets really hot. But anyway,
beverages involved.
Yes, I think so. And this is kind of this strange middle ground episode we've got, because we're just before San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
And our next episode will be obviously after, when we'll get to talk about what may have gotten revealed.
Is it after or is it during? I thought it was 2 weeks from now.
I think, well...
Hey, everybody. We're the official post Comic-Con podcast.
That's right. Well, I know that the Star Trek stuff, which we'll be talking about later on, is I think on the 20th. So that will be before we record again. Yeah. And also this will be our last episode before the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So happy moon landing anniversary, you guys.
Hey, I got news for you. Every show we do is going to be before and after something.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And on January 30th, we'll have less moon fez.
Wow.
Stretching it?
Wow. I think we're going to go up to subspace chatter now. Please.
Thursday, July 18th to Sunday, July 21st is San Diego Comic-Con.
So we will be covering that in more detail. Charlie,
don't talk over Clinton.
Jeez. Charlie. Okay, try again, Charlie.
You don't need
By the way, I got something
chatter.
To talk about.
Hold on. Like a well-oiled machine, I tell you. A well-oiled machine.
Hey, I got something to talk about real quick before we get into the news.
Okay, sure.
So somehow, on one of my trips out there to Phoenix, I had gotten... I don't know how this got in my... luggage or my stuff, but it's addressed to Chuck's wife Donna, but it's from 1996, and what it is it's a letter about from Fleer Skybox. It's announcing the card game for Star Trek. Do you remember this, Chuck?
No.
Okay, so I don't know how this got in my stuff, how this got in my house. But it says, it talks about being a UFP member, United Federation of Planets, I assume. As a special bonus for your participation in the Star Trek credit card program. So I guess y'all had a Star Trek credit card at one point.
Star Trek credit card. I thought you meant a card game.
Well, hold on, I'm getting there.
Okay.
So, but for your participation in the credit card, Skybox International is proud to enclose a special limited edition Star Trek 30th anniversary trading cards.
I thought it was playing
it's
cards.
It's like it's really a card game. It came with a Gorn. So the card itself is, I'll send you a picture of this, Chuck.
Send a picture to Donna and she'll go, what?
Yeah. So it's a Star Trek, the card game. That's what it says on the back. And there's a picture of the Gorn and it has, different stats. So we got power. Then it's a Delta shield, I guess, for health. There's a 4. And then I'm not sure what the Vulcan hand symbol is supposed to be. Logic? I don't know.
Think about it, isn't any credit card kind of like a card game? I mean, when you really think about it.
It's a numbers game, more or less.
Exactly.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
But what I thought was funny is I started reading the letter and went, 30th anniversary. Whoa, when did this? And I looked at the timestamp on the envelope and it said August of 96. I went, no.
It's older than you are.
No, not quite. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that. I did look it up on eBay. I was like, how much is this thing worth? Of course, people are selling them for $4 to $8 for this one card. But you can buy the whole. Then I thought, I might buy the whole card game set and we play it at Dragon Con. That'd be kind of fun.
There you go. Man,
how much is the whole card game set?
I saw it ranging from 172 to like $50. I don't know. I have to look a little closer, but
there's always a discrepancy between what they're asking and what they'll take. But
well, it is eBay.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll send a picture of this to you and Donna, Chuck, and you can take a look at it.
Now, is Charlie about to melt us or do something nasty to us because we're going to ask him to do it one more time?
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Are we not supposed to talk over him? Oh, sorry, I did it again.
You missed. Nice try.
Gonna be wished into the cornfield. Well, that's a different franchise altogether. All right, let's go to our first story to get us out of this. Hopefully, this announcement that was made just a short time ago involves something that I thought was already the case. And Michael Chabon has been named Star Trek Picard showrunner. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Michael Chabon, he's a Pulitzer Prize winning author. He also wrote the Calypso episode of Short Treks. And he's been working on the Picard series since day one. I kind of assumed he was the showrunner, but this announcement was just recently made. Okay. So
he was just acting showrunner.
You call that acting?
Hey.
Yeah. Well,
I guess so, because I thought... So just for a piece of information that you maybe thought you already knew, he is in charge of Picard. We'll be talking more about the Picard series a bit later on. Let's move on now to something that will be happening at San Diego Comic-Con. Tell us about it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess up your segue.
What do you think I am, Charlie?
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
I'm supposed to talk over him again?
It's going to be all night, folks, all night. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I was kind of surprised when I saw this because I think ThinkGeek had been starting to take a backseat because they were
moving. By GameStop.
Yeah, they were bought by GameStop and stuff. But
they were. When did that happen?
Like the last couple weeks. Oh, I think they announced it. Well, anyway, so but they're still going to be doing their own thing. I think they're consolidating some of their offices. But the story is actually about some exclusives that they have at San Diego Comic-Con, and a couple of them are pretty cool. Like, you know, the Office Space logo has the guy with all the sticky notes on him. There's a Funko Pop that has that on there. It has all the sticky notes on it. I thought it was kind of cute, clever, and some other stuff. But the thing we're here to talk about is Trek stuff, right, guys?
Yes, because the topic is Trek.
Yes, .com. And so, so right here,
you think this was our first episode? Yeah.
As soon as I saw the picture, this picture, I knew exactly this is a Mego Star Trek figure. It's actually Spock. It's an 8-inch figure. I had Spock. I didn't have all of these outfits to go along with him, but there's Spock with several different outfits and an interchangeable head. So you can go from Straight up Spock to mirror Spock.
Oh, I thought it was angry Spock. Then no, happy no. Spock. Sad no. Spock.
That's all the same Spock.
Yeah. But boy, more marketing made out like a bandit.
He's diabolical and illogical.
No. And, so and change him into the leg warmers and headband for the 80s exercise Spock.
Yeah. So he's got several uniforms on there, and you guys pointed this out to me earlier. This he's got the yellow uniform shirt included in the box with a pair of pants, which goes along with the original episode of Star Trek with Captain Pike.
Yep.
And then there's also another their formal one like he wore during the
Receptions like Journey to Babel.
Yeah, reception. So yeah, it's got the golden frill on the stuff. I started to say when they were in court or whatever.
And it's very shiny. It's shiny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got the gold trim. And then there's the one with the Spock, the disembodied Spock head with the mirror universe uniform on it. You know, it has the kind of little symbols on it.
What about the what about the army green uniform from Spock's brain?
No, let's not go there.
That's please. In the expansion pack.
Wait, I thought you said we were hitting rock bottom on this show. I'm just trying to work with it.
I know, but like, let's get off those rocky shoals.
Yeah. So you know, I loved my Mego outfit, action figures.
You were small enough to wear it? Oh, I see.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, what I thought was interesting is that I was pointing out to my wife, Bonnie, that the original Mego figure, they stick true to that because mm-hmm. that's, you know, for the reproduction. So you've got the single color phaser, the single color tricorder,
right.
You know, all that stuff. When you go, all right, well, this was not an original thing. You'll notice that the striping on the sleeves of the cage uniform is mm-hmm. a lot more elaborate. They use a different the different type of fabric for the dress uniform, and that's got some elaborate stuff on it. Mm-hmm. They've actually sewn in the decals on the Mirror Universe one, and the accessories are multicolor.
I was about to say the same thing. Was I noticed that the phaser, especially the phaser, the communicator looks silver, but the phaser looks like it's actually painted.
Is that a communicator? I thought it was the pain thing.
To be honest with you, it looks just like the little communicators like they have, like he's got on his belt already on the blue one.
Oh, okay. All right. Because so,
your agonizer, please.
Agonizer. Mr. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny. I remember you when you pointed out the original Mego outfits had blue accessories like the tricorder and the phaser and the communicator. But I did have a Klingon, and I remember, and all his were looked the same, but they're all red. It's just they changed out the plastic to red.
Oh, those wacky people at Mego.
Yeah, and Klingon's always stealing the technology and just changing it.
By the way, if you want to see this image, as well as all the other things that we're going to be talking about this evening, then you want to go to the show notes for episode 47 over at thetopicistrek.com. And you can see this lovely Mego figure here. And then go, I will never be able to get this because I'm not going to Comic-Con.
And oh, by the way, let me also point out on the box for Spock, got Kirk's picture on the very corner.
I noticed that. I'm like, what is this, the Kirk set?
It's probably Kirk-edition? In his contract. It's in his contract.
It also points out that Spock has 14 points of articulation. 14 points!
Does that include the two on his ears?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh,
And Uhura appreciates the 14th point.
You can send your email to...
Okay, moving right along. All right,
it's like a bad soundtrack to a 70s. Anyway, we're going to move right along now.
If you are going to Comic-Con.
Yes, please, take us away.
If you are going to Comic-Con, there's going to be a lot, and as we mentioned earlier, a lot of Star Trek news going on. They are going to be all over the place. Saturday, July 20th, there will be an immersive transporter experience. There will be talent on site, plus surprise guests is what they're telling us over at GameSpot.com. You can find that in Hall H at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. Going to be a lot of stuff. Enter the Star Trek universe is what it's being called. Patrick Stewart will be there talking about, you guessed it, Star Trek Picard.
Oh, it's because of Discovery. Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about the animated series.
I'm really enjoying that Stranger Things 3.
Yeah. Have you people seen this Orville series? It's wonderful.
Try the glamour. I'm here till Thursday. So there will also be fans will also get their first look at Star Trek Lower Decks. So lots of interesting stuff going on if you happen to be headed that way. I always seem to miss that. Well, not so much in the last couple of years, but since our company started in San Diego, it always seemed like they had me, hey, come on business the week after. Yeah. Or the week before.
Or three weeks before. Yeah.
But, you know, by that time, it's probably like Dragon Con. Hotels are sold out. Tickets are gone. Where are you going to sleep?
I can tell you the horror stories about getting a hotel for Comic-Con. It's even worse than Dragon Con. So, but yeah, it will be interesting. Like I said, I'm hoping that we see teaser video from Picard.
Yes.
You know,
I have a feeling that's got to come soon.
At least one more teaser video promo kind of thing. That's been tradition in the past. Like right before Discovery was launched, they started peppering us with, hey, here's two or three more new teasers. So, of course, the internet will blow up today with speculation about who's holding whose hand and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. We're going to be talking today, by the way.
Right. We're going to be talking about that next.
Okay, and I get it. Wink, wink.
Well, let's talk about it right now. On to our next story. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well-oiled machine, people. You know what? Episode 48 is going to be gold. Anyway, let's go on to the next thing that happened. This came out today. Today being behind the curtain here, Wednesday, not Friday. We just got the first official image, and I put that in quotes, from Picard, because we've actually seen some shots where it's footage from Picard in that little teaser thing that was shown at the upfronts. This is a poster. It's not really an image per se. It's a poster. It does have Patrick Stewart, and he's clearly at the Picard Vineyards.
He could be in Napa Valley, but we're going to go with that.
Picard Vineyards. Yeah, we'll say that.
He's taking the tour.
He's in France.
He's taking the tour through the wine country.
Right. So we have there's a dog in the picture, a pit bull.
With a Delta Shield dog tag. I thought that was creative.
Oh, wait. There's more.
Chuck. Which has identifying words on it. Doesn't have the star on it. It says number one on the dog tag.
So Riker was transported in an accident into a dog.
Number one made a number two.
Yes, well, that's what Picard's going to be doing.
Number two.
Somebody said, oh, did Q turn, you know, Riker into a dog? What's going on here? And my wife pointed out, well, since he's no longer in Starfleet, the dog is his number one. He's his companion now. So, but the other thing that's in the poster, which is a bit harder at first glance, you will definitely miss it, is there is a hint of a planet, which we're guessing is Romulus, and it's all bathed in this red light. It's kind of like a sunrise or a sunset. That kind of
like a reflection from the sun a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Then in the clouds have these white spaces in them. And some people said it looks like a face. Some people said it looks like this. I think it looks somewhat like, this gets us a Rorschach test, somewhat like a bird, which to me would make sense because of the Romulan warbird. You see the wing. I would see the wings outstretched, the tail feathers, and the head. I mean, it's not anything that's drawn out to be a really, really specific shape because it's supposed to be clouds.
I see more of a warbird in the darker shape on the right side of that planet. Like the shadow of a warbird.
Oh, well, you're talking about the ship. I'm talking about an actual bird.
Oh, okay. Well, I think pareidolia is in full force here. You can see what you want to see. And if you look at the leaf on the bottom right.
I see an elephant in the clouds.
And if you look in the window of the building that's at the end of the vineyard, you'll see nothing because there's nothing in that. It's too small.
There's a creepy clown looking back at you.
Pennywise, what are you doing in this? All right. So that was our first image.
Nice poster.
Yeah, it's a poster more than anything else. Let's move off of Picard, at least for a while. We may get back to Picard at some point. Who knows? Yeah. To our next story, and Craig is going to tell us about it.
Yes, and we're talking about everybody's favorite character, Wesley Crusher.
Yes.
So lucky for us, the Big Bang Theory actor Will Wheaton has some pretty good ideas about where the Starfleet cadet might be if bosses decide to bring him back into our lives for more of a spinoff. Talking about the potential return, Will began talking to metros.co.uk. It would rather play like a different character. They don't have to make a decision on which version of Wesley Crusher they want to explore. They have to decide, is he actually this weird supernatural Time Lord character that they made him into? Or is he an international space hobo who isn't with Starfleet anymore? Who knows?
Wagon train to the stars, people.
Yeah,
space hobo.
So they managed to catch up. The website managed to catch up with Will on the phone and a few weeks ago, and he told them about he'd love the opportunity to return to the Star Trek world. It's been over 30 years since we did Next Generation. In a way, I feel like we had our time and we did our thing, and it's time to make room for new people, new characters, new stories, so on and so forth. All that being said, I would love the opportunity to work with them again. It would be like going home. I think that it could be a lot of fun to revisit the character, but I just don't see it happening.
That's not the message.
That means they're making an announcement at San Diego Comic-Con.
That's not the message we were getting on the crew. So obviously something, maybe money came into play, because he was saying, you know, I did that. It's a past chapter of my life. I like to work on writing. That's what I really enjoy. That's the vibe I got.
I have a feeling after all this Picard talk, I'm sure it's stirring feelings in a lot of these guys.
There was plenty of Picard talk back in January.
Yeah.
I would welcome it. I didn't really have a problem with Wesley like some people did. I wasn't even aware of it, that there was a problem with him until later on.
You didn't subscribe to the Usenet news groups, apparently.
Apparently not.
But he brings up a good point. I mean, it's like, I thought it was odd. I know it's a cut scene. It wasn't actually in the movie, but that scene where he's at the wedding.
Yes.
And he's in Starfleet, and I'm thinking, well, you know, what? The Traveler just is really blown off now. He's not doing anything Traveler-related anymore. It's just kind of...
Yeah, I thought that was weird. I was like, I was excited that he was going to be in it, at least to see him, a cameo or something, and then they cut it. And then when we finally see it, I'm like, you know, come to think of it, why is he there? Maybe he just popped in. I don't know.
Popped in, put on a uniform, and he's popping back out again.
Yeah.
He's such a good time traveler, he took himself out of the movie.
That's right.
Wait, people can't see this?
All right, we're going to move on from that story about things theoretical, in many ways, to something that's real, but not the way we really were picturing it.
No, not at all. And this is an article from news18.com where... In Star Trek, we've got artificial gravity. In fact, I think in Enterprise, they had turned on the gravity. Was it the gravity plating or something? They had a term for it.
They had a lot of plates in Enterprise. Lots of plates.
It was a collector's edition plate. the University of Colorado Boulder could actually turn that into reality. So there's a study co-authored by the CU Boulder. Why is it CU Boulder if it's University of Colorado Boulder? I can't figure this out. But Torin Clark published in the Journal of Vestibular Research, he said, essentially, anyone can adapt to this. Because what's happening right now is astronauts go up in the International Space Station. They're floating around looking like they're having the time of their life. But actually, their body is degenerating. Their bones are weakening. Their joints are weakening. And when they come back, they have a problem. That's why they spend so many hours a day riding their bicycle, running on the treadmill, keeping their bodies in shape. But it eventually takes its toll. Well, one way to counteract that would be artificial gravity. The problem right now is with artificial gravity, they get a little sick. They get nauseated and like
they throw up.
Probably will in the rest of the show. I mean, later in the show, you'll barf. So the Colorado University Boulder has come out with a large table-sized spinning machine that can adapt to whoever the rider is on this thing. And that could potentially solve the problem with the astronauts' degenerative issues without making them barf. They said, we're going to create an adaptive technology. They didn't get really technical into this as to how it adapts or how the rider adapts to this technology. But currently, they're only partially successful.
Still lots of cleanup on
aisle five,
rotating disc number five, yes.
Yeah, so it's a potential thing. It's another one of those things that it was science fiction, and in our lifetime, it's becoming potentially science fact.
Right, but one of the reasons I want to bring up this article is because, you know, obviously one of the contrivances of most science fiction is that there is artificial gravity on the ship so that people can just walk around normally.
Right. That's not quite how it's going to work.
Right. But this is showing a person basically lying down on a plate that's spinning around. Lots of plates.
When it stops spinning, there's an identical copy of you right next to it.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. That's why it only takes up half of that disc, as you'll notice. Callbacks. So when you hear somebody say, oh, I've heard they've come up with artificial gravity, well, this is what we're talking about, really. All right, let's move on to something that has a little bit of intrinsic value to it from a strange place, and it's Antiques Roadshow.
Really?
What
did they find?
Well, they found on the recent episode called Out of This World, which mostly centers on memorabilia that people bring in from the NASA program. I watched the episode and you had people coming in with signed pictures of the astronauts because their father worked as an engineer. Mm-hmm. And somebody had one of the, I believe it was the Mercury 7 astronauts, got a doll with the entire uniform on it. And they have one of those. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty interesting stuff. But there were a couple of other things in the episode that weren't related directly to NASA. And one of them is this person who came in and they had four things with them, two letters, a script, and a story treatment. And they were involved with the communication that this woman's father had, who was a rocket scientist. Gene Roddenberry had contacted him in 1964 to bounce ideas off of him to get his thoughts on certain things about space travel for this thing he was going to be doing. Called
no, sir,
Star
it will never
Trek.
Work. Just drop the idea.
So the treatment, the story treatment, the interesting thing about the story treatment is it looks like it's hand typed. So it's probably a Mimeo, but it's the original Wagon Train to the Stars, Robert April treatment. And the person who was evaluating the piece said, now this piece is available. We've seen this piece before. You can find scans of the pages online. However, this is the only time I've seen something come up as a possible auction piece. The other one must be in the Roddenberry collection or belongs to Paramount or something. So it was valued rather highly. She also had a copy of the Cage script. And the person said, well, there's more copies of that floating around. So that's not worth quite as much. He valued the document in a conversation back and forth with Roddenberry and this original treatment to be the really big ticket items.
I'm looking at a screenshot. I stopped on the video. Mm-hmm. They're talking about there's the letter above the script. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So I put a link to the episode in the show notes in episode 47 over at thetopicistrek.com. you should be able to, I think it will just take you to the Antiques Roadshow page because they have a circling, whatever the most current episode is, but just search for the episode Out of This World and you can see the entire episode is interesting because you have lots of NASA memorabilia in that, but there is a Trek piece in there, or four Trek pieces actually in there. All right, let's move on from that stuff to something that is also kind of Star Trek related, although it's not an actual Star Trek prop or anything, but it tries its best to be one.
I want to build one.
I know, I was going to say, this is some good hackery for you, Chuck.
Perfect.
Yeah, so for this guy's latest project, he recreated the classic displays of Dr. McCoy's sickbay with the Arduino Nano. Where's the sound effect, Chuck?
Oh, you want the heartbeat?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. There you go.
He's alive, Chip.
I'll add sound effects to mine.
I'm a doctor, not a hacker. Anyway, so with an Arduino Nano and a 2.8-inch LCD display, it even has a speaker and an MP3 player module to recreate the heartbeat sound from the original show. The whole thing looks and sounds phenomenal and would be a perfect desk toy for the classic Trek aficionado.
I happen to have at least one Nano sitting in my tackle box.
So you probably have the sensors and stuff as well.
The display is going to be the big ticket item.
Yeah, it's a color display. LCD. Anyway, but it isn't just a toy. It's a functional medical scanner. Of course, this little gadget can't tell you if you've come down with a nasty case of Rogelian fever. Oof, you know, that's hard to shake. But it can. There's no antibiotic for that. And it can take, it can read your vitals using a max 30,100 pulse oximeter module and a DS18B20 thermometer. In fact, it actually has two DS18B20 sensors.
Two?
How much would you pay now?
Yeah. One to measure the ambient temperature and other one to measure skin temperature. With these two figures, it says it can calculate your core body temperature. The only thing that's made up is the blinky respiration indicator, and that's just an estimate. So if you go to the article through our website, you can find the link. You'll see there's a video down at the bottom, and the guy's demonstrating it, along with booting it and the different functions and everything. He took off. Forget which sensor. He removed one sensor off the breadboard and booted it up, and it indicated that that sensor was missing, so that data will be unavailable. But he was able to plug it in and reboot, and it detected. He was showing that it understood that there were sensors missing and stuff.
Need another project right now, but this looks really cool.
I mean, I challenge you to do this.
Well,
surprised at the clarity of the display, given the size of the display. So we're not talking about, this is not a display like the actual one in McCoy's medical bay. I mean, it looks like
it's what it says. Right.
Damn it. Don't miniaturize anything.
Right. But it has all of the numbers. It has all of the indicators that go up and down, all the red lights, all the wording.
Lungs. Two. Lungs.
I don't know how pixels can render text that small, but it's pretty amazing stuff.
Lungs 1.5.
Yeah, well.
All he needs to do is publish the technical specs and get a 3D printer. I think this would be awesome in a 3D printer. And there's a couple other links. It says a Raspberry Pi. There's some tricorders that have been out there. So there are some other projects. Should I ever get bored or retire, I might build one of these.
There you go. And so you say you're going to have this for Dragon Con, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Good news, everyone.
I think it would be cool if you could 3D print like a little tricorder and have this on the screen or something so you could carry it around. I don't know.
Or have that be your badge.
Ooh. Right? There. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
There you go.
And Chip's always looking for a cool badge idea.
I don't know how to do any of this stuff, so I'll just go, here's some ideas. I'm throwing them out. You make it.
I'm the idea, man. Just go for it.
All right. Let's move on to something that we just missed, and we missed it once again this year.
Solar eclipse?
No, that we kind of missed or saw or didn't see. Was I supposed to stare directly at that? I don't remember. Anyway, no, I'm talking about something that took place in the future birthplace.
Oh, Riverside. Yes, James, of course. Yes. The great Trek Fest 35 came and went. And once again, we didn't get it. So, but it is on our bucket list, right, guys?
Yes, it is.
Okay. We're going to get there one of these days. And hundreds of people descended on the town. It's a great thing. And to help draw crowds out, they even had a celebrity by the name of Sandra Gimple. If you don't recognize that name, I can excuse it, because she was the salt vampire from...
Drumroll. From the Man Trap.
The Man Trap, correct.
She also was one of the Talosians.
Oh, she was. I didn't yes. know that. So they had a lot of people coming out from all over the world. A lot of testimonials in the article about, this was my first Trek Fest and I loved it. You know, that kind of stuff. So, gentlemen, we do need to get to this one of these days. Looks like Absolutely. A wonderful time.
Absolutely. In addition to the link to the article, I have a link to a second article, which is just about 19 photos from the event. And so their guest of honor, Ms. Gimple, she is approaching 80, but she certainly gets herself around. And she says, well, you know, I like to keep it. She was apparently did stunt work as well. And she is a black fourth level black belt in Taekwondo.
Good for her.
So she keeps herself going there. And she had a great time. Year.
She was very thankful for all the people that came out and said she felt very welcome, very, very friendly. Of course, you know, it's the Trek community. And in the parade, they have like the parade marshal. Well, they get to ride in the captain's chair. That was rather interesting.
And it's got nice cushions on it.
We should get a Patreon going or GoFundMe so we can go next year.
Sure. Well, no, I'm the idea man. You're supposed to be the implementer. Anyway.
Oh, that's what. Oh,
remember the.
Pardon me. Pardon me, sir. I forgot my place in this world.
All right. I'll forgive you this time.
Yeah. I'm going to slide this one time.
Now let's move on to something cryptic that was posted by someone who some of you may know, and that's Trek writer David Mack. Now, he made a post that reads as follows. Now it can be told, because my agent secured me permission from the production company. I'm excited to be working as a consultant on two new Star Trek animated TV series, Lower Decks and another whose details remain classified.
No.
And that's all I can say about that hashtag dream job.
I don't think it was declassified enough.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm trying to figure out, as is everyone else, is he talking about the Nickelodeon series, or is there another animated series in the work?
Right.
Could be. Who knows?
The universe wonders.
We'll know when they announce it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get leaks. Something from Comic-Con will come out about that. I don't know.
Well, it just says, let's see, two new Star Trek animated TV series, so Lower Decks, and another whose details remain classified. So, all right, open speculation. Right, what do you pick?
Well, to me, I don't think it could be the Nickelodeon one, because he could say, and the Nickelodeon series, because we know that that's been announced, that there's going to be one on Nickelodeon, which makes me wonder, is that some third thing that's come? I mean, there are going to be two animated short treks, but I think those are well underway at this point. I don't think that's something you would start consulting on now. I don't know what this could mean. I find it hard to believe they would invest in a third animated series, though, this early on.
I'll predict it'll be something like Morn's Barstool or Porthos's Playhouse.
Yeah,
the happy beagle.
I'd buy
beagle,
that for a dollar.
The happy beagle you love to play with. Here's some
right.
cheese. Well,
now, we talked earlier about that Arduino thing that, you know, you could maybe make But Craig is going to talk a bit about something that I think would be a little bit harder to make than a weekend project.
Yeah, it'd be like multiple weekends over a couple, over several years, probably. So in the early mornings of, or in the early hours, excuse me, of May 20, I'm going to read some of this article here. Mm-hmm. The first studio scale replica of the USS Enterprise refit from the Star Trek The Motion Picture would be started up for the first time. Is the guy's quote is, "We stood in silence and I had to get out and push." But, and it said, "We stood in silence and I had tears in my eyes as we watched for the watched it for the first time. This would be the reaction of many that have just viewed it in four days later." So this Kun Global model built by Dan Grumowitz. Oh, yeah, maybe. The parts mostly created by George Tax would be created up directly after this brief video that you see here in order to go on a 3-day, 2,500-mile trip to be presented at the 2019 Escape Velocity Convention, which I believe was May 24th. I just looked it up. I think that was the date.
That's something that takes place in Washington, D.C., right?
I believe you're right.
Alexandria, yeah. Virginia. Close enough.
Okay.
Yeah. So there, Kurt, Melanie Kun would, along with Dan Grumowitz, would donate it to the Museum of Science Fiction. In the video, the model is not finished, which it looks pretty finished to me, but maybe not. But the assembled for the first time. There was a time crunch to get it done for the convention, and it was completed there. Note that the model is at this stage not completed. Of course, they just said that. There are window masks and areas to fill. But what's really cool is if you go and watch this video, and it's about 10 minutes, almost 10 minutes long.
The purple deflector dish is awesome.
Yeah, they have the lighting on this whole thing, as Chuck was just talking about, the deflector dish. The windows are great. What's special about this to me is all the interior shots. If you, and the guy, whoever's filming this, comes up close, you can see the area where Spock and Kirk, the lounge where they were trying to talk to Spock and he wasn't really loosening up, you know, in the beginning of the movie. And then they have other places like an atrium with the arboretum area.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a deck. Yeah, and then you can, some of the windows you can look in, you kind of see somebody, like a little figure standing in the window. Some really cool stuff. This is a fantastic model. And I don't know, I'm just kind of in awe watching it myself, watching them break it out and turn it on. But yeah, I like the deflector dish to change colors. You can see as the ship turns on in the movie, you know, when you first kind of see it glow kind of reddish or orange. And then later on in the video, it turns to a blue hue. Guess when they're actually using it, I don't know technically, but it's cool. Beautiful. I'd like to see this someday.
Yeah. I've lost track of where the Museum of Science Fiction is going to be. I think we've even talked about it before, but I can't recall. Is that going to be in Washington? I would assume.
I thought they said LA, but
there was one that was going to be the Museum of Science Fiction, but that one fell apart for various reasons. I don't know if that's where the one is that they're talking about now is going to be built or not. I'd have to do some investigating on that one, because I'm thinking if they had to crate it up and they're going to finish it up there, that they don't want to have to transport it someplace else again all the way across the country.
Yeah. Well, here it says Museum of Science Fiction, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, okay. So that makes sense. Maybe
that's where it landed. Do not know. If you go to their website, you'll see the Kun collection. And he's got ships and, oh, he's got, ooh, that's cool. He's got the Battle Stars from Battlestar Galactica. Ooh,
yeah, I get very depressed because he had somebody, they build the model of the 2001 pod, the model that I have sitting here to build, and they tricked the entire thing out. They have a shot inside the pod with every panel lit up with a display on every single panel, and there's lights, and I'm not going to be doing that. No, so
yours is still in the box.
Yeah, it's still in the box, And
hey,
now
maybe it's more valuable that way, right?
Hey,
I guess so.
Why don't you and Chuck race to see if you can get your two projects done before DragonCon?
And go!
And not happening.
By the way, the one area which we saw in the video, it's inside the ship. It's where Decker and Alia are talking, and he's trying to bring her back, you know, or get recollect. You know, they're walking around that kind of little lounge area. There is on, if you look on the Museum of Science Fiction website, and you go to the Kun collection, which is under What's New, down below there's a picture of that area not inside the ship. It's, I guess he built it before he put it in.
That makes sense.
And there's a penny for scale, but it is tiny. I mean, like
a penny, you're supposed to use a banana.
I know, but go check it out. There's some more pictures of the construction there as well. So,
awesome sauce.
Yeah. And other, right. Like I said, the Battlestar and some other stuff too. It's really cool.
All right. And for our last story, we will put on our evil goatees.
Yes, because there may just be a parallel universe out there right next to our own. I think we covered this on Technorama. So if you're not a listener to Technorama, you'll find out more here. So the Oak Ridge National Laboratory is in Tennessee, and there is a physicist by the name of Leah Broussard who is working on opening a portal to a parallel universe. What
don't
could
do
possibly
it.
Go
don't
wrong, right?
Do it!
Have they not watched any movies? For crying out loud.
She plans to fire this thing up this summer. Broussard will send a beam of subatomic particles down a 50-foot tunnel, past a powerful magnet, and into an impenetrable wall. And she says, if it's set up just right and the universe cooperates, some of those particles will transform into a mirror image version of themselves, allowing them to tunnel right through the wall. And if that happens, Broussard will have uncovered the first evidence of a mirror world right alongside our own. I love this quote. It's pretty wacky. She says,
exploration.
Yeah. You have been published with that quote. So it's, it's an interesting concept. So once again, science fiction, possibly. I mean, we know there are potentially multiverse out there, right? Universe is a misnomer. It assumes just one.
Right.
So she is going and proving, attempting to prove that this actually happens. This is some pretty smart stuff going on. Although,
right, about string theory and so forth. And
the article goes on to say, you won't find a mirror version of yourself there and no evil Spock with a goatee. Sorry, Star Trek fans. That must be how Clinton's filter picked up on this article. Searching for keywords. But the current theory allows you that you might find mirror atoms and mirror rocks, maybe even mirror planets and stars. Collectively, they could form an entire shadow world just as real as our own, but almost completely cut off from us.
And are you really sure you want to open that door? Are you really sure?
Literally, no.
When you get down to the world of quantum mechanics, it gets weird.
Everything's
weird.
So on that evil note, we come to the end of
quantum mechanics or the internet. It gets weird.
It does. All of it. And you can find the show notes of this episode on that internet that gets weird. If you go to thetopicistrek.com and look for episode 47 show notes, because in addition to all those stories that we covered that talked about the things happening at Comic-Con and projects you can build and projects you could never build and mirror universes, we have an additional 14 stories that we did not get a chance to talk about. You can go and look at all of those as well. But for now, it's time to come back from subspace chatter. Let's see what random sound effect we have this week for that.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Beady, 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 buck. No, that's different.
Clinton, I don't think we can continue with this next story. We're losing connection on the internet. Skype is giving up on us. We have to stop now.
Subspace is weird.
It's really weird.
All right. As we alluded to on our main mission this week, we are going to be talking about
Romulan ale, boys.
Because we're opening up that that lovely canister of film that's called Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. Mm. Yeah.
Happy Life Day.
Hey, I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. This film was released on June 9th, 1989, which puts it just over a month over 30 years old.
Oh, has it been that long?
Directed by William Shatner and a screenplay by David Lowery.
Not improving with age like fine wine and cheese.
So I'm not sure I'm going to ask you guys what your opinion is of this movie. Can you think of redeeming qualities that the movie has?
I think yes. Danny Hillcrest might have a review on this.
Yeah. But this is not that show.
Yes, there is one solid line in this movie.
You know does it involve something that happens on the planet's surface and a question?
Yeah. Yes. Where he's asking, what does God need with a starship?
I know. As you hear that temple, whatever it is with the rocks, get destroyed.
Yes.
And then he's gone. But you hear that sound effect where it goes. I sometimes make that sound in the morning when I'm waking up and stretching.
It's called gas, Chuck.
Well, this story has some weird origins. Apparently, Shatner claims that he came up with the idea for the story or the original concept watching televangelists and was enamored by this idea of someone who thought they could talk to God.
So Cybok was inspired by Jim Baker?
I guess. But of course, the studio. Who's
that man, Tammy Faye?
Well, you decide that.
The little bald guy that hung out with him.
Of course, the studio said, I don't really know if that's such a good idea. And Roddenberry hated the idea as well, saying this really is going outside the wheelhouse of Star Trek. I think that Harv Bennett pointed out, well, you can't, if you're going to promise something like that, you're going to promise you're going to see God, then how are you going to deliver on that, Bill? So it went in for some rewrites. And that's when we eventually got to the Cybok story. I was reading something recently that pointed out that essentially this story is the Way to Eden retold. You have a religious zealot who's looking for heaven and goes there and is sadly disappointed and dies. So that's pretty much the plot of Star Trek V.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
If I had to redo a show, they should have stuck to the recipe of Khan. Let's keep going with Space Seed.
Yeah. We had special effects that were kind of anything but special. You could pretty much see the matte lines around everybody because this movie was running really low on money. And you had a rock monster that was supposed to be showing up at the end. Apparently Shatner wanted to have several of these rock monsters, but with the budget, they said, you can have one. Now the rock monster was not used, but you can find some video of it. The place that I know it exists is on the DVD special edition DVD of Star Trek V.
I was going to say, actually they used it on Galaxy Quest.
Well, they're much, much better on Galaxy Quest than this thing. I mean, the poor person couldn't move. You talk about the Gorn couldn't move around. This rock monster was not happening. There's weird things that happen in this movie. One of the things that stood out to me right away as I'm watching it, besides, wait a minute, Spock has a brother, is when they're in that shaft, the turbo lift shaft, and they shoot up and they hit deck 78 on a sign. Now the Enterprise should have about 21 decks.
You notice that, huh?
Not only that, but they shoot past I think it's like level 52, then 64, then cut away to something else, then level 64 again.
That was the observation tower that they put in.
Yeah.
They were going sideways, you know, because the turbo lifts go up and down and sideways.
I just feel like this was a case of, you know, you needed someone like now they have that consultant who's on for lower decks and things. Mm-hmm. You kind of had somebody, even though the people working on this new Star Trek, somebody should say to Bill, you know, Bill, you're kind of pushing the envelope in ways it really shouldn't be pushed. You know, you're talking about topics that we probably can't deliver on. You have McCoy and Spock about to turn on you. You have all these decks. Everything seemed to be just going horribly wrong with this movie. It was kind of a miracle that the franchise survived after it, actually.
Yeah, this was a crater. But you uncovered some interesting trivia.
Yeah. One thing that I think I'd seen an image of this before, but we all know the scene where Chekhov and Sulu are lost in the woods and Uhura says, you know, you got to get back to the ship immediately. And they say, well, we just kind of can't really, your signal's breaking up. Well, apparently in one scene, they're supposed to find their way out of the forest and they see Mount Rushmore in front of them. But there's a fifth face carved into Mount Rushmore and it's a black female president.
Michael Burnham.
Now on Mount Rushmore. Was she ever president? I don't know about that.
Was she black?
What's going on around here? I've completely lost track of the train of thought there.
Just kidding. I just wanted to see what you'd say.
I thought they were elsewhere in Yellowstone or Yosemite.
Yeah, they transported. They moved. Well,
they walked really. They were really lost. Really lost.
I've been walking for days.
Oh, man. Whoa. Guts and Borglum is going to kill us for this one.
And this one I thought was interesting is that the Vulcan word for heaven, which is Shakari.
Yes.
Was a play on the name of the actor who they originally asked to play Cybok. Shakari, as in Sean Connery.
Oh, not Shaka Khan.
No, maybe. She was second. After they asked Sean Connery.
No, that was her picture, her face on Mount Rushmore.
Can you imagine Sean Connery as Cybok?
Share your pain. Yes. It's just...
Share your pain. Yeah.
Cybok. Don't you, yes. Can't you see this is Spock? I'm Cybok. And Junior here is going to go find the Ark.
We named Picard's dog Junior.
Him after the family dog?
Another weird thing is that the Klingon Bird of Prey was the Okrana, which is a play on Mark Okron's name, who invented the Klingon language or, you know, did the work on the Klingon language. His co-creator.
They couldn't have called it the Okuda or something creative after Michael Okuda.
Yes. Well, he got his Okudagrams afterwards. He got his
breakfast cereal, whatever.
They stay crunchy too, because they're plastic. And this thing was such a financial failure that it severely cut into the budget of Star Trek VI. And the only way that they got more money is that apparently Nicholas Meyer talked to some of the executives at Paramount, including the new head of Paramount, and said, well, you know, this is like an anniversary of Star Trek coming up. We really should have something that's a bit bigger. So could you like throw us a few more dollars for that? I mean, that's how bad things got after Star Trek 5.
Here's 20 bucks. Go get yourself some Pepto-Bismol for the Klingon blood.
Here's $5. Go see a Star War.
I was looking at the teaser poster for Star Trek. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I came up with my answer immediately when I saw this poster at the time when I came walking out of the movie, because it's this picture of a theater seat with seatbelts. Why are they installing seatbelts in theaters this summer? And I said, to stop people from leaving once the movie has started.
You know, that's right. I have to go find my Star Trek V poster. It's not on display in the studio, but it is rolled up in the tube. So
yeah, well, it's the teaser one. It's not the one
right. Okay.
I remember seeing that, Clinton. I remember seeing that going, what does that mean? Okay.
This is kind of a movie that you feel like disowning out of the franchise, going, this just went way too bizarre in too many places.
Yeah, that is a bizarre poster.
And you have, like, it doesn't know, does it want to be really comedic? Does it want to be really serious? At that point where you think things are going to be really serious, that's when you have the memorable line that gets a laugh. That, excuse me, why does God need a starship? I'm thinking the tone was just the pacing. It was just all weird.
Because there's VW minivans in the shop.
Hey, I'm going to tell you.
Here, there's a picture of that poster. I do remember seeing that poster going, I was half perplexed and I go, oh, but Star Trek. Well, that's kind of a weird jokey poster for, it's like, almost like Dumb and Dumber is going to do Star Trek or something. Why are these two idiots on a Star Trek?
The intent was supposed to be, it's so thrilling. You're on the edge of your seat. You might just even fall off because it's so action packed. And
you never sold that one.
Yeah. Talk about under delivering on a promise.
Somebody in marketing really had some confidence issues.
Now, we've heard many stories that Bill says, well, it was the budget that caused all the problems. And no. I can only accept that to a certain point, because your dialogue and your situations don't necessarily have to drastically change with the amount of money. Mm-hmm. The scenes are the scenes. The only scene that I see in that movie that was intriguing comes to a weird conclusion at the end of it, which is that scene where we're delving back into Spock and McCoy's past. When Cyborg says,
on his deathbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cyborg says, you didn't know this about your friends, these things. And Kirk has to admit that he didn't know these things. So that was an interesting, but it was like, just like this little sketch of a thing could have been, these days it could have been a Star Trek short, because what surrounded it just didn't work. I mean, we didn't have any kind of background per se on Paradise City, that entire planet, and why did things fall apart.
You have to listen to Guns N' Roses. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Take me away from Paradise City at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I wish, usually we try to be very positive about the things we talk about on Trek. I mean, not to put on rose colored glasses, but we usually have something good to say about the movies. And this one, I felt so let down, coming out of that theater, saying mm-hmm. this was, I don't know what this was, but it wasn't good. It wasn't Trek. It was Trek because they said it was Trek.
It does have one redeeming quality.
Yes.
It's prime fodder for MST3K.
Yes, I thought it's not as long as it was going to be.
When Kirk says, pick it up, telling Spock to pick up the gun, I thought he was talking about the pace of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a logical conclusion.
I don't know. Now, my question to you, the listener, is, do you have something nice to say about Star Trek V?
You really don't want any feedback this week, do you?
Because if you do, I would be interested in hearing it. I mean, it may hold a special place for you. For somebody out there, and I always have to keep this in mind, for somebody out there, that was their first exposure to Star Trek, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And if they liked it because it had no context of anything around it,
well,
they might have really enjoyed it, right? That it had no expectation.
It's like younger kids actually found the Phantom Menace and some of the other Star Wars prequels interesting enough, where now they're adults and they're kind of fans because of that. So, which I did, obviously thought it was okay. I didn't really dig it as much as I did the original Star Wars when I was a kid.
The only kids who would have enjoyed Star Trek V were the ones who were victims of fetal alcohol syndrome.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, if somebody was there, they're going to the movies, what was playing, oh, this is playing, I never seen Star Trek. It might in a vacuum, right, actually be entertaining, because again, you don't have to scratch your head about Spock having a brother. You don't have to scratch your head about all the levels on the ship. You don't have to scratch your head about this tone of comicalness to it. I mean, because you would never.
You got to scratch your head about the unending walking through the desert scene.
Well, yes, hey, there is that.
My uncle talked me into going to see a movie about an archaeologist that goes on an adventure. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm in love with, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark. So I was at that age where I could have easily not seen it and, you know, been on my way. But just because you saw it, you go, well, you know, you're at the right time, right place. So maybe, yeah, it could be somebody's intro to Star Trek, for better or worse.
And so I put the question to you, listeners, if you have something interesting, some, you know, good thing to say about Star Trek V. I mean, don't worry about bad things. We've covered bad things. Everybody's got, but if you've got something, a story, an anecdote, a thought on it that you enjoyed Star Trek V, I would definitely love to hear it. We'd love to hear it. So you can leave us a note on our Facebook page, or you can send a tweet. I mean, it has to be obviously rather shorter to be a tweet, but yeah, you can make it a multi-post tweet if you have to tell us the story. So you can tweet to @TheTopicIsTrek. All right, time to come back from our main mission, though, and let's shake it off. Shake it off, everybody.
He's shaking it off as best he can.
He's still having issues with that guy.
Now, we're going to a warp speed roundtable. And although we just shook it off, we're going to kind of mix it up a bit here, because our question this time around is, if you could change one element in the story of Star Trek V to make it a more enjoyable film, and I'm not talking about never film it.
Or gouge out your eyes.
But I'm talking about taking some element, either make it funnier, make it more dramatic, make it have a twist, anything, what would you change in it? And I'm going to start off, because mine's going to be, okay, we might as well just go for broke here, that they get to Shakari, they make their long walk to the ruins. And all of a sudden,
Starbucks.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, there is the entity there. And he sees Kirk and says, "Thank goodness, I've always wanted your autograph." You know, it just kind of.
I've always wanted to meet you. They told me not to meet my heroes.
And then Kirk goes, "Who, me?" And he says, "No, McCoy."
He's looking.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, darn. Busted.
Burn. Step aside, ego boy.
And I figure, why not go for broke at that point? Because you got no place to go. So that would, to me, would just be like, all right, I've been had, but it was fun. What about you, Chuck? What thing would you change? Could be a character, could be a situation.
I'm giving this the makeover, turned it into black and white, dub it into another language, put subtitles on it, and make it more of an art film.
Yeah,
how could you go wrong? I mean, you can't make it worse, right?
There's it's not quite enough staring in it, though. You need to have that motion picture level of staring, I think, for that.
I'm sure we could do a little clever editing.
Maybe more walking in the desert would help.
Imagine the fan dance in black and white with like a player piano.
You had to mention the fan dance, didn't you?
We haven't hit it yet.
Special effects better. Yeah, the black and white would make the special effects better.
That's right. You couldn't see the green or the blue mat lines that way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that certainly is an interesting twist on it. Would make it interesting. Would make it a thought piece more. And what about you, Craig? What would you do? What element would you change? How would you, you know, do something different to help out Star Trek V?
Okay, so at first when I read your question, What one element would you change about the story? I'm going to answer that in just a moment. But if you said to make it better, So I'm going to answer that first. I would say
Wookiees.
Where is the Jedi's? No, I think they tried to make it a little too not cutesy, but comedic at the beginning. And a lot of that just fell super flat. Get rid of a lot of that, because see, the humor and sometimes in Trek is a little more subtle, or you know, it's not in your face. Like there, you got.
You mean Kirk, it's not tapped? It's not tap tap on the bulkhead. I know Morse code. Stand back.
Yeah. Oh, what? Stand back. Hey. Oh. No, like the boots. You get rid of those stupid Spock boots. You know, I know they showed it in the mountain. Then they tried to escape, and we talked about that.
You wanted Kirk to fall to his death?
No, maybe not even go on the stupid. Don't hug the mountain. Just hang out.
Don't wait for
the
translation. Just answer the question.
Yeah, just hang out around the mountain.
Skip to next time.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think that the humor was too much. Just it was and didn't land. That was the problem.
Yeah, So making it less humorous, I think, would somehow hopefully add to the gravitas of it. If you had to actually have an escape from the cell. Instead of this wacky escape, you know?
Yeah. Or even at the beginning, I'm just thinking, just at the beginning when they're camping, you know, trying not to make it too goofy, just then maybe a little bit of bonding time. And then, by the way, we got to go, unforeseen, you know, whatever, something happened. Okay. Just like always, when we go to relax, we got to take off, you know, I don't know.
You didn't like the beans and bourbon line?
That's an explosive combination to ask.
The bourbon part, yes.
Or the marshmallow?
He had a little marshmallow maker. Anyway, so
many fun memories.
The humor was just over the top and didn't land. Okay, so the one thing I always thought was, and I think I've brought this up to you guys before, that I really hated about Star Trek V, and it has to do with Star Trek VI. So at the end of V, they're almost like hanging out and partying with the Klingons.
Yeah.
The guy just tried to kill Kirk and everybody, and then all of a sudden, you know, he gets the drunk Klingon to yell at class, whatever his name was. And then all of a sudden, they're all sharing a drink together and talking and arm in arm, pretty much. And then you have Star Trek VI. Well, we've never been this close before. Oh, this is awkward. And this is, I'm like, you were just drinking with him in the last movie.
That's
how much they had to drink, you know?
Yeah, I forgot about it. I just thought that was the dumbest thing. I'm like, you literally were just hanging out with them.
Well, I think that was and we will talk about that when we get to Star Trek VI, but I believe that was a complaint that even people in the production, I don't know whether it was Shatner or somebody else, was saying this. That kind of comment from Kirk was like way over the top of what Kirk would say, that let them die thing and all that kind of stuff. It was just like,
maybe
it's weird. You know,
What? Somebody else. And we can talk about this in Star Trek VI, but I think somebody else should have had that point of view rather than Kirk, because I was watching some TOS episodes and he was pretty accepting about everybody. I would just watch the,
his son.
Right.
So, save it.
Anyway, I was just saying in TOS, he was more accepting. I watched him with Beale and Loki today, and I was like, he was like, I don't see the issue. You're black, you're white, we're white, black. What's the difference? Yeah. So, anyway.
Now I've got Michael Jackson's Black or White song in my head. Thanks.
In black or white. All right, just going to Ebony and Ivory instead. That's completely different. Oh, okay. Now, if you have an idea, now you've already got your first assignment, listener, that you don't have to do. You don't have to do any. There's no homework, but if you want to, let us know something you liked about Star Trek V. And even if you liked it, something you thought would improve it, or if you didn't like it, something you thought might have improved it. And it, like I said, it could be anything. We're looking for just like an element of it rather than, you know, a change of like, well, this scene and this scene and this scene and that scene and that, just, you know, pick something that you think would at least help.
Take out Cybok, put in Pee Wee Herman.
Something that would help.
I feel your pain. Pain is a secret word.
Okay.
Everybody says pain. Scream real loud.
Are you zombie?
Oh, by the way, I think if you go to the Topic of Trek Facebook page, you can even get in touch with us through our messenger. I think you can get on the messenger and send us feedback that way as well.
There you go. You can say, hey, stop riffing on Star Trek V. Leave it alone. But on that note,
hug the mountain.
We will not necessarily next week, but our next movie we will talk about will obviously be Star Trek VI. And we'll have, I think, kinder things to say about it when we get there. Hey, but right now,
if you want to, hey, by the way, I'm just thinking, if you listen to this and you know we're going to be talking about Star Trek VI in the near future, huh?
Go watch it.
Go watch it and give us some feedback ahead of time so we can include that in our talk.
Yeah. Give us some things you like or some of your observations on it. Most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's three assignments you don't have to do.
What one thing would you change about Star Trek VI to make it? No, I'm kidding.
More like Star Trek V. No, we don't want to do that. That's bad. Stop that.
Okay.
But it's about time to refill the dilithium chamber and get on out of here. So let's do our usual end of show things where we talk about where else you can find us. You can find me, Clinton, at comedyforecast.com, all one word with the number 4, where I do a podcast, very silly, short podcast, much shorter than the topic is Trek. So this is the podcast that you listen to while you're on the treadmill at the gym, minus the one you listen to when you're walking from the bedroom down to the kitchen. And what about you guys? That's right. You're all out of podcasts. Be sure to listen to Comedy Forecast. And one below that is, guys, what is your other show?
Our other show is Technorama Podcast. You can find us at chuckchat.com, or you can find us on Facebook. If you just search the internet for Technorama Podcast, there's only one. There can be only one, and that is us. So we do offbeat news. There is some science and learning, so we cross the factual with the insanity. Well, it's all factual, I guess, if you trust the internet. That's often stories we find on the cutting room floor that no other podcast will touch. That's our sweet spot.
With a smattering of hackery and geekery.
There you go. And a delicious dessert topping. But also,
you know what that sound means?
No, I have no idea what that sound
it's
means.
The
it's time
sound.
To get out of here.
Oh. But I also wanted to take a quick moment here because do you want to quickly talk about Dog Days, Craig? Since we're mentioning
stuff? Thank you very much. Yes. So starting in August 1st, over at the Dog Days of Podcasting.com, we're going to start our 30-day challenge, which is actually 31 days, and there'll be several podcasters podcasting for once a day. For 31 days.
This is like the 8th year we're doing this now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I forget how many.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 8 years.
Yep. So, yeah. And it's a lot of fun. And I often joke about it, but it's kind of coming true. Is the challenge is not just making a podcast today. It's actually listening to everybody's podcast.
On double speed.
Because, yeah. Double speed or whatever you have to do. But there, because we had like, I think I cleared it out. It was like over 700 podcasts.
In 30 days. A lot of them are short.
So yeah. Subscribe. I'm thinking I might make a thing on the website that just kind of randomly selects some, you know, from day to day. If you want to just listen to jump in and listen to a few here and there, but there's a feed, you can go subscribe to it and you can listen to everybody's stuff every day. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy putting this together and, of course I drag all my friends into it and Chuck and Clinton.
Yep. Hey, what? Wait, what?
I dragged them into it, too.
The last time I help you pitch one of your shows.
I'm giving you the raised Spock eyebrow at this point.
Yeah. Hey, so if you want a podcast once a day, you're welcome to go join it. Go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. You can read more about it and subscribe or sign up yourself.
And hope to see you at Dragon Con.
Indeed.
We'll be there in some way, shape, or form. May or may not be on some agenda somewhere, but look for us. We'll be there having
fun.
We'll
podcast somewhere.
Yeah. But we have a couple more shows before Dragon Con, so when details come our way, they'll come your way as well.
So listen to this like right after we produce it. As soon as it comes out, you listen. Because if you're listening to this like in October of 2024, you've kind of missed us. We're talking about Dragon Con 2019 at this point.
Yes.
Context is king.
All right. Text.
It's time to hit the theme, boys.
Oh, yes, please.
Couldn't be soon enough.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
don't put
on
that red
shirt.
Oh, born again.
Sharing that pain.